What a wonderful day. It always is in Christ. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So our entire life should be a reflection of that. And Jesus didn't just come to save us from our sins and guarantee us a place in heaven. He came to transform who we were, and that in union with him, we would get to participate in the very life that he lives, even in the context of a fallen world. So it's so good to have you here. The scripture that Father Brett read, we'll be looking at this for the next few days. I'm not here tomorrow, and I won't be here Monday and Tuesday, being Oklahoma. But when I get back, we'll jump back into the scripture again. But just a couple of things I wanted us to see about just the ways of God, the love of God for us. It's interesting to me, in chapter 4, when it says, after 2 days of spending time with those in Sychar, he went forth from there into Galilee. Now, Jesus is, of course, from Galilee, because Nazareth is in Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And so the Holy Spirit puts that language there because he's wanting us to know that Jesus is intentionally going back into his world where he's had the least amount of response, positive response. But it says, so when he came to Galilee, though, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. But then verse 46, there was one place in Galilee where Jesus had a real impact, and had their response was a positive one because of what he had done, and that's in Cana of Galilee. Because the first miracle that he performed was the wedding of Canaan. It's even referred to in that passage in John 4 as the arch miracle. And it was the beginning miracle. And it was so powerful in its expression of the heart of God, because as we've said this again and again, but it helps me to remind myself of the nature of God, that according to Jesus, that wasn't even on schedule. And what Mary was asking him to deal with the situation that they had run out of wine, wasn't what Jesus was there to do. And yet, God's heart was so that Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing and only said those things he heard the Father saying. Obviously, Jesus, who came to make God manifest, it was the Father's heart for that groom and his family to be spared the embarrassment of running out of wine in the middle of the week-long wedding feast. And so Jesus blessed 900 bottles of wine, and it was the best wine, which is not what you normally do. You always serve the best at first and the worst at the end, but Jesus did it, of course, just the opposite. So it says in verse 46, he came therefore again to Cana of Galilee, and the Holy Spirit wants us to understand clearly where he had made the water wine. And then he talks about the story about this certain official. Now, when he talks about a certain Roman, or a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum, we don't know whether this was a royal official to Herod Agrippa, who was the king in that particular part of Israel, or was this a Roman official. My tendency is to think that it's a Jew, but it could have been a Roman. I don't know. But all we do know, as the scripture says, is that when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to Jesus, because where Capernaum is right next to Galilee. So he went to get Jesus because he felt that that would not be too far stretch to say, can you come to my house and heal my son, because my son's at the point of death. Judea would have been too much of a stretch to go find Jesus to ask him to come to Capernaum. Capernaum, again, was right there. One of the things I thought about is, like, why did Jesus, because there's a lot of cool stuff in this story, which we'll see, not today, all of it, but why did Jesus go back into Cana? Again, where the scripture makes it clear where he had turned the water into wine. And then when this man, the language is literally, he came to Jesus and was pleading with him. Not just, he wouldn't just plead one time. The language is that he was continually pleading with Jesus to come because he said, my son's at the point of death. And then Jesus makes this remark. He says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, my New American Standard is like the most accurate translation, but it adds a couple of things like, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply won't believe. But the word people and simply aren't there. Jesus just said, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. So people have always interpreted that as a rebuke. And yet, if Jesus was upset about that, then why did he heal the guy? I mean, if Jesus is like saying, well, your attitude is really wrong because you won't believe unless I do signs and wonders, then what he would be saying is, therefore, I want you to believe without having to have signs and wonders. But the problem is, everywhere Jesus went, it says people believed because of signs and wonders. Even just before that, he said the people in Galilee who had not been receptive, when he got there, there were people who received him because they had been to Jerusalem at the feast and they saw signs and wonders. So don't take this as a rebuke. Jesus is just stating a fact. And so that when Jesus heals or Jesus does some thing that's out of the ordinary, and that thing out of the ordinary could simply be, I'll give you an example. If you were here last night, you heard it. But when I got home yesterday afternoon, they delivered some medicine to my house, and they didn't put it in the closet outside, so my dog, Maud, got into it. There were two different kinds. She had pretty much chewed up the bottle of the antibiotic, and most of the pills were still there. But there was another bottle of some medicine. It wasn't a pain stuff, but it was some medicine still that would have probably killed her, and I couldn't find it. I kind of got in this panic mode because of Maud, trying to find out what to do because I didn't know whether she had swallowed all those pills. It was a month's worth of medicine. And so after about an hour of different things going on, trying to figure it out, talking to different people what to do, trying to talk to web vets because my vet was off on Friday, Wednesday afternoons. I couldn't get her. And I noticed that Maud, and she didn't show any signs of being weird, but she just kind of went out the door on her own. I was in the den. And I thought, if she put that bottle somewhere, she may be out there going to get it again to work on it. You know, I don't know. But when I went outside to see her, I then at that point remembered to pray. Should have done that at the beginning, right? I should have thanked the Lord for the situation because you give thanks in all things. But I didn't because it was such a traumatic thing. I just responded out of fear. And Jesus doesn't get afraid. Jesus doesn't panic. Jesus never gets anxious. And I'm walking in all that. The teacher's walking in all that. At that point, I just stopped and said, oh, Lord, I'm not responding at all the right way. And so I just own the stuff. Lord, you're not afraid and whatever. And Lord, I just pray for my dog I won't find anything. My dog won't die. And it won't be any kind of negative effects on my dog, and that this stuff that's out here somewhere, I'd find it. Now, I'd been searching the yard. I'd looked on the front porch from inside. I came out the door. But when I prayed that prayer and I walked around the corner, she met me before I could get around the corner. There was that bottle sitting on the steps of my front porch. Where had I not been? But she went and got it and was working on it. It was almost broken into. But when she heard me come out the door, she came around. But it was Jesus because I gave it to him. That's through Christian life. He does all kinds of cool stuff like that. And you know what it did? One, I was grateful, but it reinforced the fact that I'm a believer and that I shouldn't respond to things that way. I should believe, regardless of what's going to happen. I can believe him, right? But it's the interesting thing it says about the guy who was pleading, the royal official, Jesus said to him, you know, go, your son is well, you can go your way. And it says the guy went his way. He's no longer pleading. He's now walking in resting faith, which is what I didn't do at first yesterday. But he went based on the word of Jesus because he believed the word of Jesus. But when he discovered that his son was well, and it happened the very moment that Jesus, the day before, had given the word, it says, and he believed and his whole household. And what was that about? Because he'd already said he believed the word that Jesus gave. There was something he believed about Jesus, or he'd have never come to see him in the first place. And he certainly believed he could heal, because he evidently, that's why he brought this thing about his son to Jesus' attention. He believed that Jesus could heal. And then when Jesus said that to him, he believed the word of Jesus. But I guess what happened when he got home is that he became a believer. He embraced the fact that Jesus is Messiah and his whole household. So what's cool is the son got healed. But the big story here isn't that the son got healed. The big story is that a bunch of people became believers because Jesus did a sign and wonder. Now, the interesting thing about Cana, why did he go back to Cana? You know, like he went into Galilee saying a prophet does not have honor in his own home. Though he found some people who believed because they had been to Jerusalem and saw some of the cool stuff that happened there. But Jesus went to Cana because he knew. Can you imagine when the couple, the family who had been at that wedding, when they heard that Jesus was back in their little town? I mean, don't you know they all went out to see him? All the ones who had been at the wedding all went out to see him. All the ones who had heard about what happened at the wedding, the servants who had been there, who filled the water pots, they all went out to see him. Because you see, when Jesus does cool stuff like that in an environment, say in a church or in a geography or in a person's life, he creates a culture of expectation. And when Jesus establishes a culture of expectation, things happen more. Because only the expectant give birth to anything. You hear me? And so like from my thing yesterday, I'm so grateful that Maud is okay. But more importantly, I want to be more of a believer. You know, because I saw what he did, I want him to have cultivated a culture in me to where my first response all the time in every situation is, thank you, Lord. This is your situation. You know exactly what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? But also, I think it's important, like in a church, you know, and we see this in other places in Scripture, in villages, where whole villages came to Jesus, is that when Jesus does something, there's like this breakthrough. That he changes, the culture gets changed. Maybe just a little bit. And then there's a heightened expectation. And then Jesus comes to that culture again and again because they're looking, they're on their tiptoes, expecting things to happen. Amen?
Amen.
That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
Because where there's an environment of believing, that's a culture that Jesus will come to again and again because he's able to do the stuff he wants to do. Scripture says in one place that Jesus could only do a few small miracles because of their unbelief. It hindered him. It didn't say he wouldn't, he said he couldn't. And so this whole Christian life is lived by faith. Understand that when Jesus does something in your life or does something in a church or does something in a geographical area, it's not just so that something gets done, it's so that more can get done because it's a culture that invites him, that welcomes him with the expectation for more. Because he's after believers. Because the more we believe, the more we get to experience all that he died for us to experience. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let's stand together.